You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Callaghan alongside Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham. On this week's edition of the Golf Podcast, looking forward to the Italian Open on the European Tour, and it's the penultimate event in the FedEx Series as well, with the BMW Championship just a couple of days away. First of all, a warm welcome back to Mike Grenham, who missed the KLM Open last week, and another one of your favourite players again won the event. Maybe.
Thomas Peters, yeah. It's that's the nature of golf betting, isn't it? I backed him a few times earlier this year, and I missed both his wins now, but no excuse, he was there to be backed, I guess, so... more likely to win last week than the one in the Czech Open. I think he missed the cut previously, but the KLM he'd a half decent finish, at least one half decent finish there. So he's shaping up to be a really very potentially good player. Potentially a very good player. Don't you think? I think he could be good enough, you know.
Yeah. Hello, by the way. Yeah, he'd had the week off in between, didn't he? It seems to be a slight theme at the minute, people winning in kind of clusters, or clysters, if you're Belgian. But they went head-to-head between him and Lee Slattery, who'd won the week before in Russia, so
yeah,
really is kind of, you know, form is telling at the moment.
Definitely, and got a couple of good events to look forward to this week. We'll start off with the event in Europe, the Italian Open. And a decent field here as well. Francesco Molinari is the favourite here with William Hill at 10-1. Bernd Wiesberger is 12-1 along with Danny Willett. Martin Keimer, who disappointed slightly last week, is 12-1. Alexander Levy, David Howell, Eddie Pepperell, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rafa Cabrera-Bello and Søren Kjeldsen, all 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. It's frustrating from a betting perspective, Dave, that the venue has changed this year. Having held this championship in 2013 and 2014, the Golf Club Torino is replaced by the Golf Club di Milano. And unfortunately, this event hasn't been used on the European Tour since 1990.
No, when Richard Boxall won.
Dave's probably played there, though, aren't you, knowing him?
No, I've not played that, and I'm not going to do a COD Italian.
All right.
Not as funny as Russian or Dutch.
All right, okay.
Everyone can do that one. Yeah, I suppose Richard Boxall won the hit. I think he was known as more of a straighter hitter than a longer hitter. And the stuff I've read, it seems it's very tree-lined if you look at some of the flyovers.
Yeah.
Loads of trees on there. So it suggests it's a more sort of short, accurate, steadier hitter, I would guess from that. David Howell did say it's meant to be a bit tight and fiddly.
Yeah.
But, this tournament's been one with crazy scores, like minus 20 and minus 25 and stuff.
Well, when Boxall won, it was minus 21, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be that. Well, I say that, I've no idea, but I don't think it's going to be silly numbers. I could almost hear Mike's fury and outrage at some of the scores last week. So 15, not 60, 61, this isn't golf.
It's not, is it? It's not, it's pitch and putt, that nonsense.
That was funny, wasn't it? It was lift, clean and place because there was rabbit holes.
Yeah, and he shot a 60, didn't he, in the end, Fitzpatrick?
Yes, yeah.
Just missed that putt on the last, but it wouldn't have counted anywhere.
No, anticlimax. No. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be super low this week.
Have you got any picks, Dave?
One.
I haven't got any, but because it's 25 years since there was a tournament there, so yeah. All of this, it could be a fiddly and tight thing. It's a little bit of guesswork,
yeah.
Isn't it? And I just want to see what it's. I'll definitely be watching it, and because it could be a really good event. It's a good field, so I just want to see how it plays first, and just get with my own eyes. We bet all the way through these events, so you've plenty of time to have a bet, is my view. If you're not that sure, and I'm definitely not sure this week.
I've got one pick as well. I'm actually going with the man I went with last week. Richie Ramsey is my selection here at 40-1. He was 33s with William Hill last week, and he's drifted on the back of that missed the cut because I tipped him last week.
And me, it was a double.
Yeah,
double mockers.
It was a double penalty he had to carry last week. I won't repeat everything I said last week, but a winner this year in Morocco earlier in the season, and I believe his game sets up well for a venue like this, as it should have done last week at the KLM Open. Hit a good percentage of greens in regulation last week, but didn't putt very well. Record in Italy reads pretty well in the context of this event as well. Finished fourth in the event last year, has another two top 20s in his last four starts in the event, so plays well in Italy. I can't resist a few quid again at 40-1. He's drifted from 33s last week to 40s. And again, when you consider that some of the other players that are towards the head of the betting, Eddie Pepperell and Matthew Fitzpatrick, that they've contracted in price from last week and he's actually got bigger. I think that's maybe overemphasising that one miscut. So I'll play Richie Ramsey 40-1 as my only selection.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I can't say I'm very excited about his price, and I might even hold off, see when if the tee times are out, and see if he's got a later time, and see maybe he'll, I don't know, have a slowish start and then go in. But I do like Rafa Cabrera Bayo. We say there's no event being played there. There was actually a Challenge Tour event there in 2006, and he came third.
Really?
So that's almost, he's almost the only one, you know, anywhere near the front end of the betting with a bit of course form. So he must have liked it, you presume, at the time.
Someone needs to tell him when it's Sunday that it's actually
Saturday. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I think we've seen him lead at halfway four times, and last week he led after 54 holes. I think he hit every green in regulation, and I think he parred every hole, didn't he? So,
No, you need a couple of bogeys.
Did he?
Yes. Right. He was over par, wasn't he, for the final round? I'm sure he was.
Right.
He was getting very frustrated. You know, I was watching it. I get that pick, though. If I had to pick anyone, he might well have been.
Yeah.
He just does need to sort that Sunday thing out, doesn't he?
Yeah. I suppose you could say.
Isn't it?
I suppose you could say at least he got the 54 hole lead last time, where it's been the 36 hole lead for most of the season. So he's getting there. But just in his last seven non majors, he's finished second, fourth, fifth, seventh, 11th, and 13th. Well, six out of the seven, that is. So he's hanging about there, isn't he? 25-1 is in the realms of each wayness.
In this field,
I mean, you could, I presume we're doing top five betting, aren't you? But
yeah.
But sometimes you can just rule someone out and say, right, they're never going to win ever, and then they do.
Like, he's not one of those. He's already won a couple of times, isn't he? But he's just really stumbling to get over the line for the third time, isn't he? He's just pitting.
But it wouldn't be the most amazing thing, would it, if he does get over the line here?
He played well for most of last week. Yeah. But just that.
It's painful to watch sometimes, isn't it?
He's getting very annoyed on Sunday when I was watching.
He's getting there after 36 and 54 holes and not closing the.
Yeah, it's almost like he needs to just sit back off the pace and come from like four back or something. But
it could be one of those to look at on a Sunday when he's not in contention.
I mean, I think when he won his first tournament in Austria, I think he shot 62 or something, some crazy score, even a 60 or something ridiculous. So he did come with a wet sail to win that one.
Yeah.
So maybe you could, you know, half your stake, put a bit on now at 25s and keep a bit in reserve if he just falls back early on.
Were you not tempted by Ramsey?
This week?
Yeah.
His putting was terrible last week.
Yeah.
Which put me off a bit. But no, I think it's his sort of course. He's one of my sort of, in my European Tour fantasy game, he's one of my picks in that one. So yeah, he could well do well.
And you were saying, Mike, no official pick in this event, but you do like the look of Rafa Cabrera.
Oh, well, I can see Dave's point. Yeah. For most of last week, he played like, and you'd think this kind of course would suit him. He's a quality player, just But I want to take a watching brief and tweet if I fancy anyone. I'll definitely be watching this though.
The elusive Twitter bet.
Could
be there this week.
There's none last week for me, so. Keimer. I didn't see a lot of Martin Keimer last week. How did he play early in the week? Because Sunday was the only day I really got to watch much
of it. Well, it wasn't quite near enough, was he? He spent all week just sort of not shooting the crazy numbers that other people were shooting, and then by the came to the final round,
and he couldn't make up the ground.
Lost heart a bit, I think.
Yeah, he ended up playing dismally, didn't he, on Sunday?
Yeah, like it's just no adrenaline.
When a player of his calibre is out of contention, we've seen it with Mickelson.
Yeah, and sometimes don't give up, don't
they? Yeah, he's a good front runner in the Keimer, so I think he needs that to spur him on.
And a couple of Englishmen caught my eye at big prices. I won't put them up as official bets, but they'd be in the honourable mentions section. Ben Evans is one of them at 125-1. He's played really well in his last couple of events. Finished 8th in Russia, then followed that with a 12th place last week at the KLM Open. Full of confidence, drives the ball long and straight, which I think he's definitely going to be positive at this venue. He's
driving accuracy is going to be a key to success, I think. Just needs his iron game to be a little bit more accurate. Misses too many greens in regulation. And one at a huge price that caught my eye, 300-1 Matt Ford, who is an English journeyman, really. Spent most of his time scratching around on the Challenge Tour. I think this is a golf course where he can be successful on the European Tour, though. Finished 36th last week. He's put together a string of three made cuts, which is a positive for him. Finished runner-up in a week event earlier on in the season. But he putted well last week, and he's a very accurate driver. I think this could be a golf course where he might surprise a few. He's 12-1 to finish in the top 20 as well. So those are a couple that caught my eye.
Yeah. Just a very quick mention of Alejandro Canizares. His dad won on this course.
Did he?
Back in 1981.
He's a player you quite like, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he seems to play well on tree line courses. With the same genetically programmed to do well with your Canizares on a
like
tree line.
Tree.
Yeah, they must have been born in the woods. But although I was hoping for more than that, to be honest, 40-1.
Yeah.
50s at least. But I think he played quite well last week. I think he was tied 12th, so.
I tell you, I'll be watching a little bit this week. I haven't played for about 6 weeks, but Matteo Manassero back in Italy, I mean, his form is so
dreadful.
He's gone
to pieces again. He had a little surge, didn't he? I think he made about five cuts in a row, and then he's gone to pot again.
He was on the coverage at the Irish Open, wasn't he, for 9 holes?
Nine or 12
holes, and then just...
Well, he started quite well, didn't he, I think?
Well.
He just... It's so much ability, but there's something gone terribly wrong there. I'll just be watching him at home in Italy. He's had a break just to see whether he can improve. I'm not suggesting he'll win. But if it's on natural talent, he'd be right up there, wouldn't he?
I wonder whether he's fiddled with his swing to such an extent.
Apparently that's what he has done. Yeah, that it's ruined the whole lot. Yeah.
The other Italian youngster, Renato Paratore, he might go well.
He's very interesting.
Well, we've got him at.
He's got some in the book, hasn't he, already? Paratore is 150.
Yeah, that's
sporting.
You could see him getting
probably better than Matteo
Manassero
80s.
Yeah,
I think yeah.
Okay.
Let's get stuck into the BMW Championship then, which is this week's feature event. It's the penultimate event in the FedEx Cup Series stateside, and we're in Chicago this week. The players returning to the 2013 host course, which is Conway Farms, and even though Zach Johnson might win this event by two. Back in 2013, Jim Furyk stole the headline, shooting that 59 in the second round.
Yeah, I backed him actually. I don't know if you remember, and he didn't win, which was annoying. Which was frustrating. And I was going to pick him this week, but he's been backed into 16 from 20s, hasn't he? It's just enough to put me off.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I would have done 20s, but 16s. There's too many good players at the top of the market
exactly
to be 16s.
Exactly. And just for each way betting, you know, he's probably more likely to be placed than win, isn't he, knowing Jim?
Yeah.
He has a habit of not quite getting the job done. And at 16s, I just thought I'll have to leave him at that. But
unless again in running, he drifts to 25s.
I've only got one bet in this tournament, but I'll be doing exactly the same watching this in running, just to see whether it plays quite the same as it did last time. Because it looks another kind of tightish course, doesn't it? Where accuracy is going to be pretty important. You know, not one for the longer hitters particularly, is it? I don't think this course, based on what happened 2 years ago. And if that's the same, I've got a few people I've got my eye on, but only one bet.
And as Rob Bolton noted in his power rankings that he does on the PGA Tour website, what was more remarkable about that 59 on that Friday was that the next best score was 65.
Yeah, he was miles better than anyone else. First round I've ever seen in some ways. You know, he was just... Yeah, you get 59s when there's 62s occasionally and things, but he was way better than anyone else. But then didn't win the tournament. So no use, is it?
Well, you could argue, couldn't you, that...
Well, not to me. It was useful to him.
That was such a freak that actually the other 3 days... were pretty at bang average. You could argue
you
it
could,
that way.
You could easily argue.
But then
that.
It is sometimes hard, isn't it, to follow 59. I should know.
Yeah.
I've shot 59 for nine holes plenty of times.
Yeah.
Jason Day is 7-1 favourite here with William Hill for the BMW. Rory McIlroy 8-1. Jordan Spieth is 11s. Henrik Stenson 12-1. Ricky Fowler is 14s. Dustin Johnson and Jim Furyk both 16-1. Bubba Watson and Zach Johnson both 20s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. It's dangerous to assume too much given that this course has only held a tournament of this ilk once, Mike, back in 2013. But you look at that leaderboard, Zach Johnson the winner, Luke Donald, Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker all inside the top 10.
Yeah.
And you look at the stats, driving accuracy, greens in regulation, more key than distance.
Yeah, absolutely. That looks like what it's going to be. It is only 1 year, you know, and the weather, there's all kinds of factors. But I would say I pick one player who's good on those kind of things that you've just mentioned, but I've kept some of my betting money back because I just want to see whether it might be different this time and some changes. You need a bit more evidence, perhaps, than just one event, don't you? So I've just got one bet.
I've got a couple of selections.
I've just got one, so you should
go
lead.
First then, Dave.
Kevin Kisner.
I knew you'd pick
him. Selection.
That's the first bet of the week, London.
I'm just handing a fiver over to Mike.
Cheers, mate.
Why did I doubt it?
I just think this looks like the perfect fit, doesn't it, for Kevin Kisner. And he's willing to form nicely at the end of the season as well. He deserves one. Unfortunately, you don't get them just for deserving them. He's had three playoff losses this season on the tour. And they've all come on courses in which length isn't necessarily a factor. His first playoff loss came at Harbortown, and you look at, there's some similarities, I think, with this course in Harbortown. You look at the players that have played well and won at Harbortown in the past.
Fjerick,
obviously. Yeah, Jim Fjerick's won a couple of times there. Luke Donald, of course, who played like semi-host, didn't he, in 2013. He's got an exceptional record at Harbortown. Zach Johnson, who won here, has been runner-up at Harbortown. Grant Snedek as a winner at Harbortown, he finished in the top 10 in 2013 as well. So I definitely look at that link between Harbortown and this venue. And Kisner was beaten in a playoff there. And he started this season's FedEx Cup playoffs with a couple of decent finishes, 20th in the Barclays, backed that up with a 12th in the Deutsche Bank, drives the ball accurately, finds a lot of greens, and in the main puts well. I think everything's set for Kevin Kisner this week, and I like the price as well at 50s. So there we go.
Yeah.
You've landed your bet.
Yeah, I landed the bet there, Dave. That was an easy one, that. Do you want me to go next, Dave, or are you?
You go.
Yeah, all right. I've gone for a bit of a long shot here. A guy who's pretty decent on accuracy, greens in regulation, proximity to the hole, all those things that look like, if you can take 2013 as your guide, look like they're going to be very important. A very good ball striker. Russell Knox.
My favourite,
yeah. Well, he's 100-1, Dave, in a 70-runner field, which I thought was interesting. Isn't it? You know, it's obviously a shortened field this week, so each way makes more appeal for me than normally. 12th last time out in the Deutsche Bank, obviously the last playoff event, and 20th in the Barclays before that. So he started the FedEx Series very well. His form's been a little bit up and down prior to that. Some nice finishes with some miscuts. Possibly on miscuts on courses that didn't suit him, whereas this one really should. If it plays like 2013, again, all those things that I mentioned earlier will be very important. The one Achilles heel probably is that his putting hasn't been great this year. If you're going to get to 15 or 16 under, you need to hole a few.
Definitely.
But he is fourth on tour for proximity to the hole with his approaches, so if he hits them close enough and holes a few, I think at 100-1 he's a sporting pick at that price for me. Not yet won, obviously, so there's that that goes against him, but, you know, I'm willing to give it a try.
It is a good betting event, isn't it? In terms of each way, with the 70 runners getting the five places, I do like that.
Usually 156. We've got 70 this week, and same each way terms, quarter, first, five, gives you a chance.
100-1, Russell Knox, Mike's pick here, Dave.
Yeah, I've got a 100-1 shot as well. And for purely psychological reasons, none of this fairways and greens and form.
Is it Yuri Geller?
That's right, yes.
Darren Brown?
Surprise entry in the field. Bill Haas.
Oh.
Now, I thought Mike might have looked at his price. I mean, it's a first up, right? It's a crazy price. 100-1, Bill Haas. What? Why? Normally, he should be slotted in at 50s or something like that in a field of this quality. So why isn't he? I don't know, to be honest, but all I can say is this big positive to disprove all these kind of slightly under the breath sort of nepotism sort of things when his dad picked him.
Yeah, it's a fair call.
Such an awkward situation that was, wasn't it, for his dad and him? And his dad said he was trying to put a lot of pressure on himself to qualify automatically for the President's Cup team. Otherwise, he'd put his dad in this awful position of looking like, you know, he's favouring his son.
Do you think that's true, though? Because wasn't he 11th on the standings or something?
Yeah, so he was 11th on the standing. Bill Haas then came out and said, well, I would have picked whoever was 11th. Like, I think it's a sort of slightly convenient get-out, that is.
Yeah.
Because on you'd be picking, there's a few, isn't there? Like Koepka must have thought, well, what do you need to do? I know it just.
He picked Mickelson, didn't he?
So, and where's he?
I think
11th, but not 12th.
Any attention that he was going to draw to himself, Jay Haas, for picking Bill Haas.
Well, I think he.
Went away when he picked Mickelson.
Well, where's Mickelson? Is he 50 or something?
Well, it didn't go away. I think he might have done that to deliberately help camouflage his own son. Yeah. But there's still Haas picks Haas. When he's not in great form, there's still. So anyway, Bill Haas will now be thinking.
I get the psychology now. Yeah, he's got something to prove.
He'll be thinking, "This is a bit awkward, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to prove I'm absolutely worth a place on this team by coming out and winning the very next event."
Yeah.
So it's happened before.
It's a better pick than Yuri Geller or Darren Brown, anyway.
To be fair, yeah. We've seen before wild card picks go out and win fairly soon. I think Hunter Mahon got a pick once and went out and won a few weeks later. There was definitely a few years where it was quite a common thing to happen. I've been chasing it in recent times and it hasn't happened. So it's not foolproof. It's just another little X factor item to it. And even though he was maybe trying to force it and play his way on it, it's not that his results were that bad, actually. I think he had a couple of top six finishes in August. Mm. It's just that he did no good in the majors, but when does he ever do in the majors?
He never plays well in the majors. He's not got a top 10, has he?
No, this is dreadful. So
I'm familiar with his play. I've been selected him 40 times.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
I'm a bit annoyed that Dave's picked him.
120-year-old golfer.
Yeah, I own him.
Can he bend spoons, though? That's the question.
I'm not so sure, but he can do some very good tricks at the ground.
100-1.
So he's a funny price to begin with, and he's got this extra motivation. So those two things, I just think he's sort of leaps out of someone penciled in at a strange price.
Well, again, in a 70 runner field, Dave, there's a bit of, he could, I get that.
Yeah, I'm not convinced this is the course for him or anything like that, but I'm kind of bypassing
it's a good
ball
striker.
Yeah.
That would be his asset, I would say.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But yeah, these top players can play well on any course. I mean, I know I'm slightly dissing Mike's selection by then, but Bill Haas, how many titles has he won? 6? Russell Knox has won none and has the same price.
It's a fair point.
If you go off it on that basic level.
Mine's kind of from a similar theme to yours. My second selection.
Well, not Mickelson, is it?
No, it's not Mickelson. Nope. It's Sang Moon Bai. My selection. I actually think that
Mr. Moon Bai, picked him.
He could be highly motivated this week because he got the pick from Nick Price, didn't he, for the President's Cup side, the Internationals, and he's actually following this event, and he should get into the Tour Championship. He's on the fringe at the moment, but he should get into that top 30.
And then it's game over for 2 years.
So
the national service.
Yeah. He's got to play well these next couple of weeks. I think that has actually motivated him, though, the last couple of weeks, because the last few weeks, you look at his first two results in the FedEx. He had a brilliant chance to win, really, in the Barclays. Finished sixth there and was leading going into Sunday, then played well at the Deutsche Bank a couple of weeks ago before falling away again on the Sunday. Has got that military service hanging over his head, so he's only got three more feature events, really, with this week, the Tour Championship and then the President's Cup.
That should be a new Keith Elliott factor, isn't it?
The military service factor, yeah. I think 150-1 is okay on Sang Moon Bai, so I'll play him half a point each way, given that he comes in with a little bit of form. Has been maybe buoyed by that President's Cup pick and has to play well the next 3 weeks before having a couple of years off. So
It'd almost be interesting, because of their prices, to play all the picks, wouldn't it? Because they are all, like Mickelson 66, Haas 100, Sang Moon Bai, what was it again?
150.
As is Bowditch.
I think he could play well as
well. So you just need one of them to justify it.
I have to say, Dave, I looked at Sang Moon Bai. The only thing I was worried about is on the key stats, he was not great.
That's true.
He did cross my mind as well. But
I think he's such a good ball striker, though, Mike, and he's got such a good swing. I just think he's either on or off.
Okay.
Sang Moon Bai. I think he's that sort of player.
Famine or feast, as we like to say.
That's it. 150-1. Who came closest then for
you, Mike? Furyk was very, very close with his good performance here the last time, and also. He's just playing ever so well, isn't he, at the moment? Lots of top tens and what have you. Yeah. Fourth at Deutsche Bank.
He's got a ton of good form in Illinois as well. He won his major there and he's just always up there. But 16s is just a bit
It's a little bit short, isn't it? I like Sumsa Mahan.
I do, yeah.
But I just think that
he's played in every. He's the only player to have played in every playoff event.
It's testament to his consistency, I suppose, over the years. But we were talking about his performances this season out in the office, off the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he's done very little this season, but did perform well last time.
Yeah, it's a massive reduction in his price from the last event.
That's the problem.
Based on one event, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why I wouldn't play him at 50-1. But he's. It wouldn't surprise me if he played well.
No, I absolutely agree with that. But you'd maybe be looking for a bit bigger than 50s, wouldn't you? I think because he was way into treble figures, wasn't he, for the last event?
Yeah.
He was indeed.
I also Dave, have a little a guy who's been following a little bit. Brendan Todd should be suited by this course, but he just doesn't seem to be playing quite well enough. But he's a big price, 150s, so he was on my mind. Matt Jones was, I think, 8th here. Last time, wasn't it?
Played well at
his game is not really, you wouldn't think, suited to here, but he did finish 8th, so I'll be watching him as well, just if the course plays a little differently.
I looked at when he did come 8th, that most of the players who played well 2 years ago, they all hit loads of greens in regulation. He didn't hit, he was way down that list, so he sort of got by somehow.
What about the guys at the top of the betting then? Before
No chance.
Before Jason Day 7-1, Rory McIlroy 8-1, Spieth, Stenson at 11-1 and 12-1 respectively, and Fowler at 14s. Were you tempted by any of those guys this week or not, Mike?
No, I wasn't actually. Day looked jaded. McIlroy disappointed. He'd be closest, I guess, for me, but Spieth, you've got to have a little question mark. And Stenson. Yeah, should have won, probably.
The only one I'd, if someone said, right, you've got to have a bet on one of these, I'd pick Fowler just for that stat that players always seem to win.
Yeah.
If they win one, they win two.
Slightly surprised that Dustin Johnson was 16-1, I have to say. That seemed a bit short.
Yeah, he's gone off the ball completely.
Is that moneyless bet had it, by the way?
It's almost had it. I think, I thought I was on 5 places, but I'm on 4 places.
All right.
And what is?
And he's 5th, and he's 300 grand behind Ricky. He needs a big week. He needs a big
to win this, doesn't he? And
to get in the places.
So who would you be your pick of the top 6 then?
The one that I like to be
Fowler for me.
I like Justin Rose at 25-1.
Yeah.
I just think he's a player that is always around the 12-14-1 mark when you've got Fowler and Stenson in there.
No, I see that.
And Dustin Johnson at those prices, and he's become an inflated price based on the back of one bad performance, in my opinion. So he would definitely be my
just his putting. He's putting me slight concern in an event where you've got to probably go low. But I should have said that myself. I did look at him.
Yeah, it's just a price play, isn't it, Mike? Because you think 16s, 18s naturally, and 25s here.
He didn't play that well here when it was here 2 years ago, but he's great greens and regulation, proximity balls, all those things he does well, doesn't he?
He did say he was kind of a bit flat and a bit worn out. After all the majors, I think he's tried so hard to.
Maybe the week off's done him.
Or maybe he's just sort of had it for this for a while.
That's why I took the KLM Open week off.
Just to refresh the old batteries.
Me and Justin needed to chill. And
did you go on a little holiday?
Can you imagine that?
In Amsterdam. It was a wild one, isn't it?
With some Russians. So you could do all your accents.
Before we finish, chaps, it is worth noting as well that the Solheim Cup is this week. All about the Solheim Cup, Mike.
Been following it closely, Dave. Been following it close.
Me and you were both taken aback when
we found out it was this week.
USA are 4-6.
Oh, it's a crack. It is good. It is. You know, we'd slightly forgotten it was this week, in truth. Yeah. But
once you get into it and you follow some of the storylines and see, it's like any team event, you can just get involved and it's great viewing.
Particularly if it's close and you know, there's a bit of passion. Yeah.
So obviously, it's kind of what the Ryder Cup used to be. It's always the Americans have win hands down if you're going off world rankings. But if you're going off that kind of strange, what's the phrase? The sum is great and the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
That's it.
Then Europe's got a great chance because they always seem to raise their game and play well together. It's in Europe this time, in Germany. Matt Cooper, who's very expert on their ladies' golf, gave me a stat that if you combine those sort of winning records of the two teams, the USA comes to 44% if you take each person's record and divide by 12, whereas the European one's got 59%, so they're markedly better performances in this event as a whole, the Europeans.
And Dave, just remind me of, this might be, I don't want to trap it, but what is the record of the last four or five Solheim Cups? Is it Europe on top slightly?
Yeah, Europe have had some good wins of late. Yeah.
So Europe, just to check, Europe have won the last two. Yeah. Then the US won the three before that.
Yeah, so it was like a heroic effort when they won at Killeen Castle in Ireland.
That was excellent, that one, wasn't it? Yeah.
So that ended a run of three losses.
The last one wasn't that interesting, though, was it?
Well, the last one was sort of astonishing the way they won, because they were massive underdogs in Colorado. Yeah.
And they ran away with it, didn't they?
They trounced them. So, it's almost like it's about 15 years behind what the men's used to be, and it used to be American dominance, and suddenly Europe, comes through and starts winning every year. So...
Are we thinking Europe then here?
Yeah, well, you could argue, can you? It's in Europe and they've won the last two, just purely on that.
And they're
outsiders. Yeah. I used to work it out on the one, even though you try and look for all these different factors, if you just go with home advantage in Ryder Cups, you win in most of the time. I think the kind of bottom line is home advantage and your odds against, you win. You've got a great record.
So what does Matt say then? What was his pitch?
Yeah, he said Europe maybe he'd make them something like 11-8. I mean, we've got them at 6-4, so he thinks they're about the right price, but he'd still probably back that. And just in the top overall player that we've got up, he likes Carlotta Siganda at 25, just as a bit of a sporting bet, because she's got a good record in this event.
We should play
2, 3 and 4 as well.
Yeah, Caroline
Head... play most events, most matches.
Yeah, I think so. Caroline Headwall's famously got a brilliant record in this, but Matt says she's playing like an absolute drain, so he would prefer Siganda.
He actually
typed the words drain, yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's useful insight. Good.
Carlotta Siganda then, 25-1 to be top overall player. That's a market on the William Hill website, 50-1, 2, 3, and 4. Now let's recap the picks then for this week, and start with the Italian Open, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do the accent. 1.5 points each way. Each way, yeah. Cabrera Bello at 25s.
Okay, I'll play a point each way, Ricky Ramsey at 40-1. And in the BMW Championship, Mike?
Russell Knox at 100s. Okay, the new.
Point each way?
Yes.
Point each way. I'll play a point each way, Kevin Kisner at 50-1, and half a point each way on Sang Mumbai at 150s.
Yeah. I'm going to back the ass off Bill Haas at 100-1. I'm going to go a point each way. I'm going to go for it, yeah. Good old psychology.
Yeah, that's a standard bet, isn't it? Not back in there. Yeah, 2 points each way should be going into that conference.
Well, at hundreds, that's...
He's big at that, though, Dave. I didn't spot him at that price. I can...
So I wanted to back him, then I thought, oh, I bet he's some sort of 50s price and that'll be... But 100s, that's like really took my eye.
Because you're right, he's got a fourth and a sixth recently in his last five events, so he's not playing that bad.
I'm looking forward to this week. They opened at Italia on the European Tour, the BMW Championship on the PGA Tour. Look out for Mike's Twitter bet as well if he has one in the Open Italia.
I will definitely be looking to have a bet because I've only had one bet for the whole week. So
I can't get over Thomas Peters and Lee Slattery winning the last three events.
Crazy, isn't it?
They've been yawning. I know they have.
It's been a bit frustrating in truth, but I don't like to go on about it.
If you want to follow Mike on Twitter, it's at M. Gredham. You can follow myself at D. Kellner and Dave at Dave Tindall Golf if you're not already following Dave. And we'll be back next week. Tour Championship next week. Chaps, looking forward to that. 30 runners for the Tour Championship. Get your bets on for the Italian Open and the BMW Championship here with William Hill. And myself, Mike and Dave will speak to you very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.